Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I think the majority of people still want to have one person forever and still want to have a family. If you were to ask people if you want to have a marriage or one man or one woman for the rest of your life and get out of the dating pool, I think the majority of people would say yes. I know I do.
I think a majority of guys want one girl. You know, they want one girl. Yeah. It does get exhausting.
You're listening to the premier podcast for men who want to not only be better with women, but want to be better men in general. This is the Come On Man podcast. And here's your host, Paul Bauer.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of Come On Man. If you haven't done so already, please like, subscribe, hit those notifications. You should know what to do by now. Guys, if you are watching during the pre-recorded live on Mondays, do sound off in the live chat. That helps boost us in the algorithm. It helps make these shows more fun, at least for the guys in the comments, right? If I'm usually in there editing videos on Monday morning, but if I'm not in there, just talk amongst yourselves. It's cool. And then if you guys are watching during the replay, drop a comment below. If you guys are listening or watching on Spotify, there's usually a question, you know, on the show page that asks what you thought about the show. Feel free to sound off there too. And if you guys are listening on Apple Podcasts, do give us a 5-star review. It helps more than you know. You guys can send super chats during these. I just can't bring them up on the screen because they're pre-recorded. But if you do send a super chat, I will take a screenshot of it and I'll give you a shout out on social media. Speaking of social media, the links are in the description. I'm on all the good platforms. Follow me there. Get on my email list, list.comeonmanpod.com. You'll get free stickers, you get 20 dating app openers, and you get a free chapter of my book, Everything I Wish I Knew When I Was 18, which you can get on Amazon. You can also get it on Audible. It's in all the formats. And then, guys, do consider joining the Beer Club. I'll play a commercial for that. But first, my guest today is my 3% brother, Taylor Michael. He is back again. He was on, I don't know, like a month or so ago, and his episode actually got quite a few views. It was really good. And so I invited him back on. And in this episode, we talk about the differences between men and women. I thought it'd be a fun conversation to have that discussion. Right. And, so I will bring you that right after these words.
Here's a harsh truth that everybody gets upset about online when I say it. They get upset because of their ego investment into the fairy tale idea of love and partnership. They get upset because of their ego investment into the idea that their woman is their best friend, their confidant, and they think that love will conquer all, and that their woman will be there through thick and thin. The truth is that as a man, your woman is hardwired biologically and psychologically to want you to be her rock. It doesn't work the other way around. Women do not care about your struggles as a man. They may think they care. They may even want to care. But her evolutionary DNA will not let her care. If you bring her your problems, she will lose attraction for you over time and she will leave. Now, whenever I talk about this, people lose their minds and start talking about men unaliving themselves. The faster that men learn that women don't care about our struggles, the faster we'll save the lives of men. Men off themselves because of their own ego investments in the Disney fairy tale line. And when that fairy tale goes up in flames, they get zeroed out and they end things. Men do need a proper outlet for dealing with their problems, but going to their woman isn't the answer. Men need a tribe. They need a brotherhood. That's why I created my Beer Club. It's a monthly virtual hangout for men only. It's a place where men can be men. It's a place where men can talk about guy stuff without having to worry about offending women. It's a place where they can go without having to worry about being called toxically masculine. It's a place where they can go to solve their problems. Because men solve problems. women cause problems, you dig? Visit beer.comeonmanpod.com. That's beer.comeonmanpod.com to sign up.
All right, returning to the podcast, my 3% brother, Taylor Michael Griffin. His first appearance was quite the hit, so I thought I'd bring it back on to class up the joint. What's going on, Taylor?
What's going on, Paul? Good to be here again. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to another great discussion.
Yeah, man. People at home don't realize this, but we just spent the last 8 minutes troubleshooting the internet connection.
Let's keep that in the past, brother.
Okay. Fair. So the reason why I wanted to have you back on, I mean, like, yeah, the last episode you were on actually did pretty good. It seemed like people really liked what you had to say. So, I was like, yeah, man, anytime you want to come back on, you had some ideas for some episodes, which we'll get to all of those. But tonight we were going to talk about the differences between men and women, right?
Yeah, simple differences that make the two genders beautiful and unique within each other.
Yeah, one thing that is so funny, because everyone hates Red Pill. Everyone thinks like Rollo Tomasi hates women and stuff like that. But he always says that men and women are better together than they are apart. You know, but
100%.
No one ever quotes him when he says that.
Yeah. They don't give him credit when he deserves it. They just pick out all the negative things that you know, sound bad, and, you know, and they just ignore everything else. Sad.
Yeah. Yeah. But it really is important to understand the differences between men and women. And those differences, I firmly believe, are meant to complement each other.
Yes. Know? Yes. Yes.
And I think a big problem with our society today, maybe you agree, maybe you don't agree, is that a lot of times we're trying to make men and women equal, and it's like, okay, maybe we have equal value in some way, but yeah, we're not equal. Like, we don't think the same. We're not physically the same. You know, we don't act the same. You know, there's right. Their differences are real, and they can be seen, and
100%. And to me, these differences are obvious. They're obvious to everybody. And, you know, you said it perfectly, Paul. You know, yes, we're equal. We want equality in the form of your human value. You know, from a Christian perspective, I believe we're all made in the image of God, all people. So in that sense, we are equal. We want a society with human rights that treats everybody equally. But within that equality, there is inequality. For example, men on average are stronger than women. Men have more testosterone than women. There are several things that men just simply do better than women. And there are several things that women do better than men. And I'm sure we're going to dive into all this here within the next hour.
Actually, I think that's a good starting off point. Like, what would you say that women do that's better than men? Or they do better than men, I should say.
Yeah, so I think that women are much better at nurturing and being helpers to people. I mean, I believe that men normally view the world through logic and reason, and women normally view the world through emotion and feeling. And you need both of those things. You need both of those things to create a prosperous and thriving society. If you only have logic and reason, you're going to ignore people's feelings. You're not going to care about them as a person, and you're going to burden yourself with bottling up all your emotions. But at the same time, if all you do is think with your emotions and your feelings, I don't have to explain how that can just get everybody in a world of trouble. So I mean, for example, I think women make better caretakers. I think they're much better at that, just being nurturers, and it's like, when you're a kid and you fall off your bike and you skin your knee, you're going to run to your dad or your mom. Well, your mom's going to be the one to pick you up and pat you on the back and give you kisses and say, it's okay, honey. Your dad's going to say, get your ass up, get back on the bike. Yeah. So, and
put some like dirt said, on it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So you need both. You need both of those things. But one of the ways I think that women are much, much better at men is they're much better at naturally caring for children, because I think it's just kind of in their nature to want to nurture and care for children. And so, but that doesn't mean a a woman can't be a CEO or can't be, you know, we've had women that have ran for president, but I would argue that those women are the exception rather than the rule. Just because you have a couple that go outside the norm doesn't justify that as being the normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't want to get off on the weeds here and stuff like that. I was on a Dragon Ship episode with, I don't know if you're familiar with the Dragon Ship. It's a panel show I do on Saturdays.
Okay.
And, the guy who runs it, his name is RP Thor, genius guy. He wrote a book called A Dominant Masculine Presence, which I highly recommend. And, anyway, he did this episode where he pulled up statistics from women that ran companies, like women that like CEO ran companies, and like every one of them. And I hate, and it's not, this isn't an indictment on women. It happened to be facts. All these women that took over these companies and they ran, like, you know, the CEO of Yahoo and stuff like that was a woman, ran, like, they all ran the companies into the ground. And it was,
yeah,
it wasn't, you know, so it's like, yeah, I mean, women can do it. They're capable of doing it. They just, I don't know if that's necessarily their best feature. You know what I mean?
You know, on that point, I think on average, men are more built for leadership roles like that, because in the business world, I mean, I'm not a businessman, but I'm assuming that in the business world, you have to be tough. You have to be cutthroat. You can't put up with any bullshit. And women, like I just said, they tend to want to understand people's feelings, which is good in certain situations. But in the business world, that's probably not what you want to put your focus on. Obviously, you need to understand how your employees are feeling. Your employees need to feel loved, cared for, respected, to have good employees. But there's a difference between doing that in a masculine way and a feminine way. I mean, men are masculine, women are feminine. I mean, that's just how it is. That's just how God designed it. And I think it's a good design. And when you try to switch the two, there is some overlap. But when you try to switch the two, that's just when bad things happen, like companies being ran into the ground.
Yeah. And it's in one of the things with being in business is business is competitive. And
yeah.
That kind of competition, especially when you're competing with other men, it does tend to force women to have to operate in their masculine in order to be successful, which can be problematic, like relationship wise. But as you know, like studying this stuff, you know, 3% man and stuff like that, you'll find like a lot of guys are highly turned off by girls like that, you know, like the boss women. But it's like, well, you know,
I am.
Yeah. But most of those boss women, when they come home to their relationship, like the last thing that they want to be is a boss woman. They want to relax and they're feminine. They want a guy who's more of a boss than them that can sort of set the tone and lead. It's just, man, when you have a, like an alpha female like that, they're just so goddamn competitive. It's just like, man, it's exhausting.
You know?
So.
Yeah, it is. It is exhausting. And, you know, Corey talks about that in his book, The Way of the Superior Man. David Dieta talks about it.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily if a woman is that boss babe type of woman in her career, and then she's able to come home and then unwind and relax and be in her femininity and her feminine to her man, then you can make the two work. I think it's difficult, but I think it can be done. I don't underestimate a woman's mental prowess. I don't underestimate a man's mental prowess to make things work. So the two dynamics can have a little bit of overlap. But if they overlap too much, I think that's when bad things happen. If a woman has a man who is super sensitive, who cries when he sees the sunset, or who cries during every single love song he hears or anything, now you're getting into, okay, man, what's going on here, you know? So there's just some things that when they overlap, that overlap is not necessary. Does that kind of make sense?
It makes sense. Yeah. It can be problematic. Yeah. But get back to, I mean, I'm not trying to bag on women here at all. So I'd like to, like, let's get back to like the caring and nurturing. I think that's because of their caring and nurturing, they're natural empaths. So they understand other people's feelings. They sort of like, they almost feel what you're feeling, you know?
That is what
an empath is. I think that's one of the reasons why they make really good, you know, nurses. You know, that's why I think like the nurse
is
primarily women.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I tell you what, I got, just for my own personal life, there's been some moments in my life where I'm just kind of down, you know, something happened or whatever. And when I'm in that mood, I want to be around females. I want to be around women, even if I don't know them, just because of their aura and their presence and their sweet tone of voice and the way they're how friendly they can be. I mean, you know, I've got several female friends and they've been around me before when I have not been at my best emotionally. Not that I was like emotional around them, but they could tell that something was bothering me. And just being around them, man, just being around a woman's tender nature really just uplifts me and puts me in a good mood. And women are a lot of the motivation to do what I do. Obviously the motivation comes from my own desires and my own purpose and what I want to have for my own life. But some of it does come from the women I've met over the years and just wanting to be naturally. I just want to be attractive to the other sex. And there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with that. So just a woman's tender nature really does it for me. It really does.
Honestly, do you know who Aaron Clary is?
Never heard of him.
Okay. Fair enough. Aaron's,
nope, don't know anything about him.
No, it's fine. It's fine. So Aaron, he's a friend of mine. Well, he would describe himself as not a friend of mine because for tax purposes, but
gotcha.
Cause
copy.
I'll go up to, go see him up in South Dakota and I'm his, not a friend, Paul. We're a business associate, so he can write
business. Copy.
Yeah. So
get it.
Anyway, so my not a friend Cappy, he's written a bunch of different books, right? He's written like this one called The Book of Numbers. He just recently wrote one called A World Without Men. And
okay.
And his basically one of the things, one of his premises, I think in The Book of Numbers was basically like the only reason why we have civilization the way it is, right? Like buildings and streets and cars and all this stuff is because men want to have sex with women, and we do everything motivates, you know, everything we do is to motivate us to get the women, you know. And that he's like, if we didn't care about women, we'd all still be living in mud huts because guys don't give a shit, right? Like guys are like super simple, and it's like,
yeah,
we go out of our way and build stuff to make women's lives easier, you know. And it's like, man, I never thought about it like that, but yeah, I mean, like, yeah, that's why bachelors can live with like, you know, an inflatable fucking mattress
and, like, on the floor.
A futon and like, you know,
yeah, full pizza nut rolls.
Right. They don't give a shit. Like, that's, hey, we're good. Right.
Yeah. We've all been there.
Beer, what else do we need?
we're fine, man. It doesn't take much. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know if I would agree with that 100%. I mean, I'm just only speaking for me personally. I mean, there, a lot of the things I do, like my athletic stuff and career goals, it is, you know, for my own selfishly, it's for me, and that's okay. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, if your only goal is to improve yourself to get the girl, what happens when you get the girl? Are you going to stop improving yourself? Because that's what a lot of people do, and that's bad. And then that's what most guys do. Yeah. So I don't know if I'd agree with that 100%. I think when you said, well, all these things have been built to make women's lives easier. I think we all want to have easier lives, per se, for lack of a better term. But I get the sentiment that much of the motivation from men comes from women, and I think that's perfectly fine as long as you use it in the right way.
I think it's done nothing but benefit society, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it's a net positive at the end of the day.
Yeah,
you know, it's actually going back to what you were saying about, you know, why are you doing this? And honestly, when I first found Corey's work, No More Mr. Nice Guy, like all that kind of stuff, it was because I had two major relationships fail, and I was like, what am I doing wrong here? I got to get better with women. And what I found on this journey to get better with women is it just makes you a better man in general in all areas of your life.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does. It really does, man. Because I think, excuse me, I think in spite of what everyone's being told in society now, I think, I wonder if there's any surveys and data to back this up. I bet there is, but I think the majority of people still want to have one person forever and still want to have a family. I think if you were to ask people, if you want to have one, a marriage or one man or one woman for the rest of your life and get out of the dating pool? I think the majority of people would say yes. I know I do. And so, I mean, everybody's different, but yeah, look, man, I mean,
I would agree with that. I think a majority of guys want one girl, you know, they want one girl. Yeah. It does get exhausting. If you look at, have you ever read the book, The Game by Neil?
No, Smith? I've heard of it. It's been recommended to me before, but I have not read it.
Dude, my biggest takeaway from that book wasn't all the cool pickup secrets and all that kind of stuff. It was the fact that all the pickup artists were miserable. They were out getting easy poon every weekend. They were specifically targeting certain girls that looked like they would be easy to pick up.
They would be easy to pick up. Yeah.
It wasn't like they were, you know, running this game on every woman they saw. It was, they were looking for a specific type of girl. And then they were out having these casual flings and stuff every weekend, and they were fucking miserable because they all wanted a deeper connection. It was like,
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, they say, oh, see, all women are like this. It's like, no, the women you choose are like that. Kind of going back to the conversation we had last interview. It's like, you know, well, are all women like that? Or are all the women that you're looking for like that? There's a big difference there, you know, and that's going back to the differences between men and women thing. That's where I think men and women are the same, is that we all want to be loved. We all want to be respected. And, women, when you get down to it, I think they too are naturally desired to want one person their whole life. Now we talk about marriage and the marriage and divorce rates and who cheats and who doesn't cheat and all that stuff. But I think when you get down to the raw brass tacks of it, both men and women, they want one person forever. Now you hear some people in the red pill space say, well, men are biologically designed to want to spread their seed. I can understand that view. I can understand how that makes sense. And to a point, it does make sense, because men, we're visual creatures. We see a pretty face. We see a nice body, nice Coca-Cola shaped body. And you know, we're thinking about, you know what? And women, I think women think about that too when they see an attractive man. But I think it's more prevalent in men. I think that men have that more raw carnal instinct of just wanting to have sex. But like you said, like you just got done saying that all those pickup artist people are miserable. And like I said, obviously I can't speak for everybody, but I'll say it again. I think deep down, both men and women, in one way that they're the same, is that both the sexes recognize that what's going to lead to ultimate happiness is a heterosexual relationship with children. That's just my opinion. I don't have any studies at my fingertips to back that up. I'm just looking at things from a common sense perspective through my lens. I'm looking at the world, and that's just what I think is true. You know,
there are studies that do show that monogamous societies are more productive. You know,
they're more prosperous.
They're more stable.
But
going back to like men's and women's instincts, right? I think that's one of the important things of understanding like red pill, because red pill really is a mixture of pickup artist community information and evolutionary psychology.
Yeah, you know, with a lot of good information too.
Yeah, but it's like okay, yeah. So men, our sexual strategy, right, is polygyny. Typically, basically spread our seed, is, you know, with as many partners as possible. It's why men, if we go into a room and there's like 100 beautiful women, like we basically look around and we go, I want to fuck every one of these girls, every one of them. We're not even looking at like, oh, what's her personality? Like, what does she make? What does she do for a job? We don't give a fuck. We're like, she's hot. I would fuck.
Yeah.
She's hot. I would fuck. Women, a woman goes to a room. She has 100 dudes. She wants the best guy in the room, right?
Yeah.
She wants one guy to consolidate on. She wants the alpha fucks and the beta bucks in one guy, if possible. And she wants the best fucking guy possible. Like, why wouldn't she, right?
100%.
So now that being said, yes, that is our, like, you know, reptilian fucking monkey brain. But it doesn't mean that we can't control those urges, you know?
Yeah.
But a guy, it's funny, like when you look at cheating, and I don't personally condone cheating, but you know, whatever, people do what they do. Like a man can be faithful to a girl. You know, he could be faithful to his wife, step out, have sex with some stranger, have it literally mean nothing, and come back and still be faithful to his girl. And I mean, like, emotionally faithful, right? A woman typically won't step out on her man unless she's lost attraction for him and she's found a better man. And that's,
I agree with that.
That's really the difference. And so usually when a woman steps out and cheats, it's her man's fault because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A guy's girl could be like the best girl in the world. He'll still fuck another girl unless he could keep those urges in check, you know? So it's like, women could do that too. They could keep their fucking urges in check. They can not put themselves in a position to be looking for better options. Like, we all have the faculties to do this shit. You know, it's whether we, want to sort of be more conscious of that or not, but, but those are two differences right there. So, I mean, we're still on topic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, men and women view sex differently. I was just watching a great interview with Michael Knowles and Pearl Davis. And then this topic came up about how, which you should watch. It was about 2.5 hours long. I watched the whole thing. They're talking about how men and women view sex differently. And I think women view sex more more emotionally. And men view sex as more of a raw desire. Over time, however, as the man starts to get more attached to his woman, the sex will mean more. Now, in my opinion, I think sex should mean something right off the bat. I think sex and love should be connected. Maybe not love per se, but you at least should have a strong, strong, strong desire to want to be with a person before you have sex with them. But I think that's more active in a woman's brain, where sex should be more of a connection. Whereas, like I said, with men, it's kind of like a raw urge to just kind of, you know, get that physical pleasure. And to your point too, Paul, just because we're born with a desire doesn't mean we should act on that desire. I, Taylor, have a natural desire to lie in order to get ahead in life. Lie to everybody. I'll lie to my coworkers. I'll lie to my women, everybody. Does that mean I should do it? Well, of course not. Why not? Well, because it's obvious you shouldn't lie. A prosperous society doesn't lie to their people. So even though I have that desire, I'm suppressing that desire in order for a better outcome. So, you know, just because we're born with certain urges, that's not an excuse for us to just randomly act on those urges.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. The Pearl interview, I caught a couple of snippets of that. Because my good friend Glenn was producing for Pearl for that event.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
cool,
yeah.
Man. Cool. Yeah, my friend
Glenn. And then like I've been on Pearl's show once. So she follows.
Oh,
me on
nice.
Stuff. Yeah, she's to me, like some guys in the Red Pill space don't like her. Some people in the TradCon space don't like her. And traditional
I like her.
To me she's been nothing but nice to me, so I don't have a problem with her, you know. She's cool.
Yeah, she
says shit that's polarizing, but she does that on purpose, and I recognize it and respect the hustle. So
for sure.
But one of the things that Michael said in that interview, and this is a little off topic, mm-hmm. but he was saying that I kind of agree with him, I kind of don't, right? So Pearl was saying, we need to have mandatory DNA testing for children. And he was like, are you kidding? Mandatory? And he's like, one, you can't just make that kind of shit mandatory. And then he's like, two, he's like, you're basically calling my wife a whore when you
wife
say
that. A cheater. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, okay. Like I get rid of the ridiculousness of mandatory DNA tests. Right. But it's like a lot of guys don't realize how capable people are of what they're capable of doing. And it's not, not to say like, hey, your wife's a whore. It's like women do that, you know, not all women, but women do that. So it could be a concern. So to maybe make it so that, if there's a paternity case, like a woman wants to take a man to court for paternity, then it's like, well, yeah, a guy should have the opportunity to do a DNA test.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Situation like that. But I don't know if just like your wife has a baby and you mandatory make a fucking DNA
Morally, within yourself, I think it should be, considered, you know, people think that I thought this way when I was younger, Paul, I'm sure you did. Corey talked about this, how when you're young and naive, you think women are just these angels give me a Laffy Taffy and I'll give you a kiss on the cheek. And if you get a kiss on the cheek from a girl, like, you're just pixie dust is flying everywhere. Like that's how I viewed girls, man, for the longest time. It's like, oh, they're not capable of cheating. They're way too emotional to cheat. And they are people are capable of very, 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 very bad things. And I think it's naive of anyone to think that, oh, well, my girl or my wife would never do that, because the fact is you just don't know. You know, there have been a couple of times in my life, Paul, where I thought I found my wife. And it didn't turn out that way. It doesn't mean it was necessarily through infidelity, but it didn't turn out that way. You cannot put it past anybody to do something bad to you. And I kind of am a little bit more radical on this than a lot of people. Like I told you, I'm a private person. Everything takes a long time to gain my trust. And part of it is from my own experiences, but part of it is that I'm not naive enough to think that this girl or this, you know, whether it's a girlfriend or a guy friend or whatever, that they're incapable of doing something bad to me. And women cheat, men cheat, women cheat. And that's just a sad fact of life.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those situations too, where it's like you almost want to give someone the benefit of the doubt. You know, I'm like that. I'm not like, I'm all skeptical of you until you fucking prove yourself. I typically give everyone the benefit of the doubt until they do something that crosses me. And then I'm like, okay, I see how you are.
Yeah.
That's
how you are. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's with the DNA testing thing, obviously, man, I can see both points. That's why I love the debate, because I love both of those people. So I love what Pearl, you know, what she believes in. I love what Michael believes, you know, Christian background, everything. But I can see, I mean, whenever you start talking about mandatory things, I start getting sketchy, brother. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, hey, you know, it's kind of the same thing with like a prenup. Like, no, you don't want to believe that that's going to happen, that she's going to divorce you and take all your shit, but it could happen. You don't want to believe that that's not your seed, that that's not your child, but it could happen. So.
Yeah. And they were talking about prenups on there too. He's like, oh, I would never, I didn't sign a prenup for Mrs. Knowles, and I would never even consider that, because this is a life bond. It's like, well, it is until it's not. And most, nobody gets married expecting to get divorced.
Everyone expects
it to last forever. Just, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't always happen that way.
And on this point too, Paul, excuse me. Women, the fact that just women can just have so many more options than men at their fingertips makes it so much more easier for a woman to at least think that she found the better option, because, you know, women can have so many guys in their DMs and they get approached all the time. And it's not like that for men, you know, in the dating world. It's, you know, for the ladies listening to this, it's not the same for men in the dating world. It's just not. I can't go into it now. That can maybe be a discussion for another time, but it's just not the same. And so, you know, women have so many more options. And so if a woman just gets bored with her husband, she can just leave. And that's a scary thing for a man, you know? Yeah. And Michael Knowles also said that he doesn't believe in divorce under any circumstances, even when the woman, his wife, were to cheat on him. And I'm like, brother, I'm sorry. Like, loyalty and trust for me is everything. And you break that trust, man, it's never going to be the same. You're constantly going to be looking over her shoulder or your shoulder or wondering who she's texting. Man, like, he said that, and I was just like, wow, even if she cheats on you, you're not going to leave? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I'm not there either. Although I just finished reading. I read a lot. I'm a book nerd.
That's good.
I just finished Dread by Ryan Stone. And one of the things that he talks about in that book, right, is a lot of that book is all about, you know, turning your relationship back around, right? Like, you realize, like, you've been baitatized through 1,000 concessions. Your wife's naggy and bitchy. She doesn't put out anymore, and you're miserable. And you're like, why won't she fuck me anymore? And so now you got to realize, like, oh, I have no fucking frame, and I need to get centered. Yeah. I need to go back to the gym. I need to be attractive again. All this kind of stuff, right? You need to be able to handle her shit test better. and like all that kind of stuff that you know we learn to and that we apply to get these women in the first place, you know.
Yeah. And you got to keep doing it.
Right. And one of the things he talks about is like, you know, signs that she's cheating and stuff. And he's like, he talks about how like there's no right answer. It's like whatever the answer is best for you. So for Michael Knowles, his right answer is to try to make it work.
Try to make it work.
Right. And it's, you know, for me, it would be, no, you're done. You're done.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So it really each guy's kind of got to do his own thing with that. But you did bring up a good, going back to our topic, which is differences between men and women. Like on the dating circuit, women do have typically way more options than men. And
it's not even close.
Yeah. And then in a funny thing too, so women, another difference between men and women is women typically have a very solipsistic view of the world. And that's not a negative thing. It's just how they view things, right? But it's everything is filtered through their own experience, their own perspective, their own emotions, right? So like an example of this would be you go up to a woman, you say, look, on average, women in the United States are about 5'4", right? And she'll be like, but I'm 5'6". It doesn't matter what yours is, honey. On average, right? We're not talking about you. We're talking about on average, right? But women apply it to them, right? If you say something like, you know, what's a current event, right? Like a problem with, you know, the Russia and the Ukraine, right? You say, oh man, the Russian and Ukraine war, blah, blah, blah. She'd be like, you know, those Ukrainians, I had a hairstylist once that was Ukrainian. And it's like, what does that have to do with
they were so nice. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So women have that sort of viewpoint. So when it comes to how they think, because they have unlimited options, if they're in a relationship, they probably have 3 or 4 orbiters at work that are offering to take them out to lunch all the time. And they're, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, he's just a friend or whatever. Well, they think that you're doing the same thing as a guy. And it's like, no, that's not even for most guys. That's not even a thing. And most guys go to work. And unless if they're in a relationship and they're happy in that relationship, they're not trying to, you know, take all their female coworkers out to lunch and stuff.
Never, right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right, Paul. You know, it can be kind of disheartening when you think about it. Cause like I said, you know, if women have all these options that they're, even if, you know, I consider myself an attractive guy, I work out, I eat healthy, you know, and even I don't even have anywhere close to, like, if I were to have a dating app, the amount of matches I would get in 1 week compared to the amount of matches a halfway decent attractive woman would get would not even compare.
No.
And then, you know, the messages, it's just not the same. And that's because, again, men are visual for the most part. I think women are visual too. I mean, she has to, I think, be
on dating
physically
apps,
attractive
yes.
to you.
On dating apps, it's all about appearance. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so therefore it favors women, because the women are the ones that get looked at as physically first by a man. Doesn't mean it's bad or good. I'm just telling everybody that's the way it is. So naturally, so they're going to get lots and lots and lots of matches. And you know, Alexander Grace had a great, he did like a experiment on this where he took a woman. He took one of his female friends and he said, okay, use my picture and create a Tinder account. But she was the one operating the Tinder account. And it was for 1 week. And by the time she got back, she was like filming herself doing everything. And she gave a documentation. She said, look, by the end of the week, I was depressed. I hardly got any matches. And when I did get any matches, the girls wouldn't respond to me, or I would have to think of like funny pickup lines. Whereas with a girl, all they can say is, hey, and the guy will eat that shit up. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's women's dating experience too. That's why when you go to a woman and ask her, like, what should I be doing? Like, how do I get the girls? Or, you know, and women are like, oh, just be yourself. The right girl's going to come along someday. And it's just going to magically happen, because that's a woman's experience. A woman literally goes to Trader Joe's, some hunky guy with balls comes up and talks to her and shit just happens for her. That's not, that doesn't happen to guys. Like the hot girl does not come up to you at Trader Joe's 9 times out of 10. So
no, No.
And you're talking about matches. One of the things I learned in this journey, I went to a men's retreat with one of our 3% brothers, actually. I don't know if you know him. He's not in the current group anymore. His name is Benny Lichtenwalner. He was in the original group.
I'll ask later, but okay, go ahead, continue.
He's making his own content now. He's making a fortune breakup coaching now. So guys that are going through breakups and they're trying to reattract an ex, he's making a fortune helping them.
I know Benny. Yeah, I've chatted with him a couple times. Okay. Yeah. I wondered why he wasn't posting anything in the group, but now I know why he's not in the group. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. He's I'm still friends with him. I still converse with him periodically, but he hosted a retreat several years ago, in Georgia, and I flew out there, and a bunch of the other guys from the original group flew out there. And we all hung out for a weekend, and Benny had his wife create a fake Bumble account. I think it was Bumble. And he lives closer to Atlanta. Between Atlanta and Lake Lanier, where the retreat was, his wife set up an account in Atlanta. On the drive up there, she had like 300 fucking matches, 300 in a day,
ladies watching this.
Yeah,
this is common. They're shaking their head. I bet they're like,
So the biggest thing I learned from that experience was that when it comes to dating apps, men use dating apps to try to get as many matches as we can. Women use dating apps to filter out all their options. They just get a bunch of matches. Right. And now they got to filter out all the options. So you've got to. If you want to do well on dating apps, you have to be the best option. You know, there's some strategies here. Yeah.
Yeah. That's 300. And that doesn't, I mean, that's like an insane number for one day, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I know I had like a gasping reaction, but like, yeah, I mean, that's just common. And it's, you know, it's kind of being a man, I don't want to say it's kind of sad that it is that way, but it's kind of view it as like, oh, this is just the way it is for guys. It's just harder in the dating world. I believe it's just harder to date as a, if you're single, it's harder to date as a man than it is as a woman. And, you know, like you said, Paul, can you remember the last time a woman walked up to you and gave you a compliment randomly?
Oh yeah.
Exactly. I
mean, it happens, exactly. But it's rare. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, women get that all the time.
Yep.
And you know, that's the thing that I tell the, you know, I have a lot, like I said, I have a lot of female friends, and I tell them that are single. I said, look, don't be afraid to go up to a guy and tell him you like his shirt or you like his handsome. I said, do you have any idea what that does to a man's confidence? Mm-hmm. or say that you like his smile, or that he's got nice teeth, or hey, I like your hair. Even if you just say that and then walk away, you will literally make that guy's week just from one compliment from a woman. And you know, that's the one thing I hope women start realizing is that, you know, men, we need that encouragement sometimes. You know, we need that confidence boost from you girls, because it never happens. And when it never happens, and you know, it just makes a guy feel so good when he gets a compliment from a girl. And I think women think that it just happens all the time, like it does for them all the time, and it just doesn't.
That's just not true. That's not true at all. But you know, it's funny. I think a big problem too is guys look at that situation, right? Women get a million options. Guys don't get as many options. They look at statistics on dating apps. Oh, women are only going for the top 20 to
40. Right. I've heard all that. Yeah.
And so a lot of guys look at that as basically an excuse not to try, you know? And I'm like, you need to kind of reframe that, brother. You need to look at it like, what are the top 20% guys doing? What are the top 5% guys doing?
Yeah, what are they doing?
Why can't you get there? You know, instead of thinking about why you can't do something, why can you do so? How can you do something? You know, because that's more empowering than, oh, the statistics say, you know, it's like, shut up, nerd. Put the calculator down.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's another, bringing it back to the topic, that's another difference between men and women is their experiences in the dating world. Yeah. You know, we've been talking the last few minutes about how, you know, women can, you know, can get approached all the time. They constantly are getting messages all the time. And to the ladies, you know, it's if they're in a relationship, you know, it can be really, really easy for them to not just, I'm bored, so I'll just talk to this guy. And well, you gotta understand, to a man, that's being unfaithful. You know, if you're in a committed exclusive relationship and you get bored and you start messaging this guy that's messaging you, you know, you can't really do that, in my opinion. And for guys, we don't just
cheating doesn't start in the bedroom, man. It usually starts
in
an innocent text message, you know.
That's it. That's it right there. And so now in a woman's defense, if a woman wants to start going up to a guy and complimenting a guy, I'm sure a woman is going to encounter those guys that are creeps and that are going to take it too far. And, oh, she must be interested in me. Well, she might be interested in you, but she might not. She might just want to say something nice to a guy, you know? Yeah. And so in women's defense, I mean, because women have gotten approached so much and constantly deal with guys trying to hit on them and pick them up, they probably deal with a lot of weirdos. You know what I'm saying? And so that probably makes them scared or reserved to try to maybe go out there a little bit. And so they would rather just have the guy come to them, you know? And so I understand that too. So I'm trying to give them their credit and give, you know, at the same time.
Sure. Well, I mean, that also goes to another difference between men and women is men are typically better at handling rejection because we deal with it so much. Whereas women are, they will fucking melt down. And if they
get used to it,
So they would rather just not even deal with it. You know, that I found that, I found that out dealing with Bumble, right? Are you on Bumble at all? Or
I've had a Bumble before. Yeah. I've had one before.
Bumble's
funny, it's interesting.
Man. Yeah. Because I think on paper, women like the idea of, okay, well, I only get to talk to the guys I really like that I want to talk to, but then it's like, oh shit, I have to start the conversation and they don't know how to do it. So they either emoji, or they'll just become a ball of fucking anxiety and then just delete the app. You know, it's like, so it's like a smart guy that wants to be successful on Bumble. Don't worry about how shitty of an opener she gives you. Just take the ball and run with it. Like
start a conversation and then get a video call going or something. Yeah. But yeah, Bumble was an interesting experience. I stopped using Bumble a while ago because they started kind of going too woke. And so I'm like, yeah, this place doesn't really support my values anyway. So I'm just not even going to use it. But I think for a guy, I've had pretty good success on dating apps, but that's because I've done the things in my life leading up to now, like reading Corey's book on how to set up a proper dating app, how to carry myself, what to say, what not to say. And to your point, Paul, when you said, you know, girls will just tell guys, oh, just be yourself. Well, look, I am all in favor of a man being his authentic self and not lying to people. Yeah. However, if you're socially awkward, if you don't know how to talk, if you don't know how to stand, if you're chewing your nails or something like that, and you just want to be yourself, those are some things that need work. You know what I'm saying? So yes, you should be yourself to a point. You should be authentic. But if you've got like some sort of character flaws, like you don't know how to speak or you stutter a lot or you just start getting real nervous, those are things that you need to work on. I mean, would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. I always say being yourself is great if it's getting you the results that you want to get. But if you're getting the results, something's got to change, you know? the best version of yourself is probably a better way of saying that.
If you go up to a girl and your fingers are still dark with Cheetos on your fingertips, then you might want to change something.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's not attractive to these kids out there.
Yeah.
One thing here. So we've talked a lot about like relationships and stuff like that, but one difference I have here that we haven't really talked about, but it sort of goes back to what we were saying in the beginning, right? Where women are more nurturing, and so they're better suited for certain types of roles. Risk-taking behavior. Men are more prone to take more risks than women are.
Oh, yeah.
That's why men, you see men in like dangerous professions and stuff like that, like SWAT team members and fucking, you know, power linemen and oil rig workers. You hear like women complain about equality in the workforce. It's like, well, okay, I'm all about you becoming a fucking roughnecker on an oil rig, lady, but they don't want that kind of job. You know, I'm all about you being a fucking garbage man. You don't want that job.
They don't want to do those. Women don't want to do those jobs, Paul. And I think the majority of women, they don't want to make tough decisions either. They want their man to take care of, where should we live? Where's a safe neighborhood? Or they want their man to take care of the safety in the home. And, I just don't think they're built for making tough, really, really tough decisions that can affect them And yeah, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do the tough careers because they're not wired to do that. So yeah, statistically, men make up 90% of plumbers and probably 95% of oil rig workers. Well, does that mean it's sexist? No, it's just because they're not applying for those jobs because they don't want those jobs. And that, here's the thing, to society, that's okay. Why is that a big deal to recognize that? I mean, everybody gets up in arms about how a pay gap or a discrepancy between men and women here. It's like, well, maybe have you ever considered the options that maybe they're just not applying for that job, or maybe they're not spending as many hours at work because the women are the ones that would rather leave work and go to their daughter's ballet recital. Whereas the guy would be like, well, my wife's going to be there, so I can stay at work a couple hours. Well, those couple hours add up over the year, and that's where you get your pay gap. And I'm getting off topic here, but I'm simply saying that, man, it is okay to have these differences. You need these differences because, like we said in the beginning of this conversation, you got the yin and the yang. And when they come together, man, it's such a beautiful thing. Men and women work better together, and they work better when they recognize their own differences and they join forces and they work together. That's the best way to create a good family and to create a good, prosperous society.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Going back to what you're saying about decision-making, that was one of the things I had to learn, really, in this process of getting better with women, because I was always the kind of guy that was like, well, where do you want to go, honey? What do you want to do? And I learned, both from Corey Wayne and from Dr. Robert Glover, like, no, just make a decision, Christopher Canwell, he laid it out perfectly to me with and I love using it as an example, but it's not even big decisions. Women just don't make decisions well. They always want input from everybody. They can't just decide shit on their own. And so when you put it in a girl's lap to say, hey, where do you want to eat tonight? And she's like, I don't know, where do you want to eat? And guys get so frustrated by that. It's like the solution to that is to not ask her. Just say, hey, honey, I want to get steak tonight. We're going to Chili's, Ever since I started doing that, I have yet to have a chick scoff at it. They're just like, oh, yeah, that sounds
good. I know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it blows my mind because everyone's like, oh, like a lot of guys are afraid of making their woman unhappy or, oh, she's going to be resentful because I picked the wrong place.
Nah.
It doesn't happen. They're happy that they didn't have to decide,
Paul, I would argue on that point, that's going to raise her attraction for you because you even that small little decision, it's demonstrating that you know what you want, you're a leader, and you're going after what you want. And I would even argue, I mean, hey, I want steak, let's go to Chili's. I would even argue, don't even tell her you're going to Chili's. She said, hey, babe, I'm in the mood for a steak. Let's get a steak. Come on, let's go. And then don't even tell her don't tell her where you're going on the dates. Well, where are we going? I've gone on dates before where the woman's like begging me to tell her like, honey, you're just going to have to find out when I come pick you up Thursday night or whatever. And it drives them crazy, but it drives them crazy in a good way. Even though at the time they want you to tell them where you're going. Oh, where are we going? But if you just stay focused on your mission and your purpose, which at that point in time is getting her to the date and making her wonder about you, that's great. And it's these aren't like tricks that you play to get the woman more attractive. This is just a natural way of how attraction and desire works between the sexes. Women like mystery, man. And women like it when a man takes the lead, even if that lead is something simple, like you said, like going out to eat. Yeah, well, where do you want to go? Oh, where do you want to go? And then they're both getting frustrated. It's like, and I'm sure she's probably thinking, wow, why won't my man just make a decision? Well, she's probably wanting you to make a decision like that on a lot of things, pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So,
And that, what the guys that I work with, like with coaching and stuff like that, that's one of the things I try to really instill in them is like, man, you gotta be more decisive. You gotta be more decisive, and I was like, if you are one of those guys that just can't fucking make a decision yourself, flip a coin, man, And one thing, one exercise I have guys do is I'm like, pick two things. Like you have two choices, flip a coin. Don't even look at it. if you're hoping it lands on head so that you get this, that's what your gut wants. Fucking just go with that, you know?
Nice. Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's good, man. That's nice. Nice.
It's a good way of breaking that habit. And then once you, and everything's a habit. All this kind of stuff, being indecisive is a habit. So it's like once you, in order to reprogram a habit, it's like something like what? 10,000 hours or something. I don't know. It's like,
yeah, I've heard that's the 10,000 hour rule.
20 days or something like that. Anyway, you practice this thing for like a month, you know, you're going to have a new habit of being more decisive, and you'll find that just picking something and just going with your gut, like, will lead you in the right direction. Yeah. Like every time. I've never had a problem with it. Oh, so.
Yeah. I mean the David Dieta's book, The Way of Superior Man, y'all are going to hear me reference this a lot because it's one of my favorites. He brings up the example. Yeah. He brings up the example of, you know, hey, it's your wife's birthday. What's the better option? Option one, hey, honey, it's your birthday. We can do anything you want. Option two, hey, honey, it's your birthday. Pack your bags, put on a nice dress. We're going to be gone for a while. Don't ask me where we're going. I've got everything taken care of. Which one sounds more exciting? Which one sounds more, ooh, I can't wait. Where are we going? You know, clearly it's option two. It's just, it's just such a, I mean, before I started learning all this stuff, you know, it wasn't such a simple concept, but you know, now that I've done it, you know, so many times with so many different dates, it's like, man, it really adds that just at that extra level of excitement, with the woman and with you too, because I mean, it's exciting for me, Paul, cause I'm excited to see her reaction. You know, I want to make her smile. I want to make her laugh. It's like, man, I can't wait to show her this place, or I can't wait to have her see this restaurant. Assuming it's, you know, the third, fourth date, and you're starting to get a little bit more fancy with your dates, you know, in the beginning, I think it's important to kind of keep things like low investment, you know, but, just not telling her where you're going and just making it a surprise. Everybody likes surprises, brother. So it's just like, man, I can't wait to see your reaction. You know, it's like, it's good for everybody.
One thing I will say is it does take a little bit of extra work on the guy's part, especially if he's going to be planning that kind of stuff out. But it's don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. It's going to pay off, a thousandfold, man.
It's going to be worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes if it's just as simple as where are we going to eat tonight, if you just take 10 minutes while you're on the John and Google like what's out in town and just pick a fucking place, you know, like what are you doing there anyway? You're flipping through TikTok, maybe stop that for a minute, just find a place on Yelp. You know, it takes 5 minutes, go, okay, I'm going to pick this place, and then just be like, all right, this is what we're doing for tonight for dinner, you know?
So yeah, that's it.
It's not as hard as guys, you know, make it out to be.
Right.
Were there any other differences? We got through quite a bit, and we sort of went off on a bunch of tangents, but this was a really good conversation, man.
Oh, yeah. I always like talking to you, Paul. Yeah, you know, I mean, we've got so much to talk about. I mean, there's so much more. I think the key component here, Paul, that I think that everybody should take away from this conversation, whether you're a man or a woman, men are naturally designed to be masculine, and women are naturally designed to be feminine. And I think it's... When you inorganically fight against those two opposite ends, that's when I think bad things happen. A woman can like to climb trees and be a firefighter. A man can be a little bit more in touch with his feelings and you know, he can, you know, but that doesn't mean you're not a man. It doesn't mean you're not a woman. It just means you're a more masculine woman or you're a more feminine man. But the men that are naturally masculine are way more than the men that are naturally feminine. And the women that are naturally feminine are way more than the women that are naturally masculine. Don't try to be something you're not. Embrace your masculinity. There's nothing bad about your masculinity. Nothing. Embrace your femininity, girls. There's nothing bad about your femininity. It's what attracts each other to each other. Mm-hmm. Men want a sweet, nice, kind, smiling, feminine woman who's going to support them. Women want a nice, strong, confident man who's going to lead them and lead her and their family into love, success, and prosperity. And that's just, it's to me, it's very, very simple.
It really is simple. And we do tend to overcomplicate things. but yeah, it really, for it sure. comes down to it. And once you embrace like sort of your natural roles in this world, it everything does simplify, you know?
It does. It really does.
I think the hardest thing about it is that, you know, we have a culture, at least in the West, where women are taught to be more masculine, men are taught to be more feminine, be more in touch with your feelings, bro. And it's like, yeah, you know, guys have feelings. It's okay. You just got to understand, like, there's a, for men, it's another difference between men and women is there's a right and a wrong place for us to express our emotions, you know?
And
our default, when things aren't going right, men default to anger. Women tend to default to sadness, you know?
Right.
And so when men are like angry and pissed off and slamming shit around, like women look at that like very threatening and they're scared and they don't know how to deal with that. And that's wrong to them, you know? And so we're taught, don't do that. You can't be mad. Being mad is bad. It's like, it's not bad, but you need to channel it better, brother. So maybe go to a boxing gym, maybe take it out on a bag or something, maybe take it to the gym or something, right? Take it to your brothers. Take it to your brothers, man. If you're in the 3% brotherhood, man, take it there. You know, the fucking group I posted at the time of this recording, I posted something in the group yesterday. I was like, why, what, you guys are fucking quiet in there. Like, what?
I saw that, dude. There's compared to the other group, it's like there's no interaction anymore. It's like, guys, what are you doing? I don't know if that's because like some of the guys that were more active just didn't transfer over or what, but it's like, yeah, man, we gotta change this, you know?
I don't know. But the funny thing is, so I have my beer club. My beer club is active as fuck, dude. I've got half the guys in there. I've got less than half. Yeah, because there's about 100 guys, I think, in 3% Brotherhood, and there's only like 35 or so guys in my beer club. Beer club's chatting all the time. They're swapping notes all the time. Yeah, and so I don't know what the deal. I don't know what happened with the Facebook group, but it's sad.
Yeah.
It's
to the point. Y'all need to start putting more screenshots up there, and you guys need to start engaging more. Like I said, I try to post an encouraging message on there once a week to try to encourage, you know, for more engagement. And you know, you can see that it's seen by a lot of people, but nobody just engaged. And that's cool. Just as long as they read it or as long as they get value out of it, I guess that's cool. But it just, it would be nice to see that the work is appreciated, especially with all the work that Paul does. Y'all need to raise Paul up, because this is a great thing that service you're providing to us, you know?
Well, it's free, you know? I mean, all you have to do is the skin it. So with Beer Club, your skin in the game is there's a monthly due, and it's nominal.
Yeah, it's like 10 bucks or something. Yeah.
$10. It'll never be higher than that. And then, then 3%, man, you just have to read a fucking book, for crying out loud.
I know, dude. And the book, the book is going to work wonders for your life.
It's gonna change your life.
You got all the incentive in the world to read the damn thing. Read it. Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. You need a horse to water, though. You know, just can't make him drink.
Yeah, make it drink. That's it. I love it. Damn it.
That's a bitch. Fucking lazy. No, okay. We're done beating up the guys. You know what I did? You know what I did, though, is so last night after I posted that, I went into the admin tools. There is options to like auto post certain things. So just like once a week, whenever we have a new person join the group, there's like an automatic message saying, hey, welcome to the group. These are your admins or whatever. That's all automated.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah.
So I went in there and I created a bunch of like automated posts where it's like, you know, Purpose Wednesday. Wednesday wins, guys. What was a win that you've experienced?
It's a good idea.
So just try to get some guys out of their shell a little bit to start talking about, you know, some of the good shit that's going on for them, you know.
How many members were there in the old one?
We had like 1,500 people in the original group. So
wow.
But it's like at one point, Brother Luke went fucking scorched earth, though, and he like was banning everybody. You know, like anybody would ask a dumbass question, he would get like fed up by it. And he's like, you need to read the fucking book. Get the fuck out. And he was like kicking everybody out. So it got to a point where like no one wanted to ask questions anymore, unfortunately. I think some of that carried over. People were like afraid to fucking ask questions, and
they didn't want to get kicked out.
Yeah, when I created the new group after the old one got deleted, I mean, I put specific rules in the group, you know. So it's like, don't ask a question if you know it's covered in the book, you know.
Right.
Maybe reread that part of the book or something, you know. But if it's like, if there's something that's not clear in the book that you have questions about, like by all means, ask that question, you know.
Of course.
So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it pertains to your personal life, like your personal situation where you think you might know the answer, but you want to, there's a little more context you need to put behind it. So you want some opinions. I mean, that's fine. I've had to do that before, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, don't be scared. Don't be scared, y'all. Post those comments.
I'm at the point in that group where I'm like, even if you think it's a dumb question, just fucking ask it, you know, like you're not going to get kicked out of the group. Now, if you're just like a complete value leech and you're just asked dumbass questions every week where it's like, bro, come on, we keep giving the same answer every week. Like that could be a problem, but,
trying to cherry pick information.
I would say most guys that used to ask questions, the group weren't doing that so much. There was a couple of guys that would do that kind of thing, but
Taylor, that's crazy. So guys, start commenting more. Come on, guys.
Yeah. Do your fucking job. Actually, I mean, it's like you get out of it what you put into it. You know, it's really what that comes down to. So
simple.
Taylor, this has been a fun conversation, man. We've been at this for actually over an hour if you count like the early hiccup. I think if we do this, when we do this again, this is how the setup we need to do. Without the Bluetooth. I think it's the Bluetooth that was probably messing up the Bluetooth.
Man, it might have been. That's weird too, because it's like, you know, you got this, like I said, I have this $220 blue. I mean, I've had it for about 5 years, but it works well on everything else. And then I had that I got that nice little Rode is like a audio company. They make really nice microphones where you can attach it right here, and then I can attach the other one behind the phone, and it's supposed to be real good. But I tried it last interview and you could barely hear me, and I got it for the interview. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? So I'm just keeping it, and maybe I had it set up wrong or whatever, but yeah, maybe it was the Bluetooth. I mean, I haven't had any lag. Yeah. I don't know how I look on your end.
No, it's been perfect since we took off the Bluetooth. It's been pretty fucking smooth. So we'll jot this down. We'll jot this down for the next one. Taylor.
Yeah, for sure.
Where can people find you online besides the 3% Brotherhood?
Yeah, you know, so I got a Facebook at Taylor Michael Griffin. I do have a small little TikTok that I haven't really promoted much because I got some bigger ideas I have with it. Same with my YouTube page. I do have a small little YouTube channel. I haven't really tried to grow it because I got some other things I'm working on. But I do post some of my encouraging messages on there, like little 20, 30 second workout messages. Normally it's after a run or after practice or something. I'm all sweaty. I just post like a little encouraging clip to encourage others. But you can find that at Holy Athletic, Holy_athletics on TikTok and on YouTube. Guys want to come around, check it out, subscribe, like the videos. You need some encouragement, that's where you'll go to find it.
Perfect. I will link to those in the description. Thank you very much, man. Yeah. I will give you the rest of your evening back. And then, we'll have to work out another time to, cause you had like 20 topics or whatever. And I was like, fuck, that's awesome.
Oh, and I got more. I've thought of since that I'll send you later, but yeah, there's so many things we can discuss, so much information I can learn from you. And then hopefully people can learn from each other talking and, bouncing back and forth, you know, ideas off each other. I love this. This is going to go down this year as deciding to get more active. This is going to be probably one of my favorite decisions I've made in 2024 is talking with you and talking with everybody. And maybe we could get a panel of other people in the group to where we can have like the four-way thing going on and we all talk about things. I don't know, something to think about, but I just love talking to people, man.
Yeah. I mean, I do two panel shows every Saturday. One's called Rule Zero. Yeah. I do one's called Rule Zero and the other one's called the Dragon Ship, and they're back to back. I love panel shows. The only problem with panels is that it does kind of get cluttered, you know, like everybody. So as long as if I hosted it and then, sort of bounce around asking people questions, those shows end up being pretty good. But
yeah,
if it's
for
just
sure.
Everybody just talking at once, it's like, it's a fucking
talking over. It's just like, shut up. Yeah.
All right, brother. I'll let you go, man. Thank you very much.
God bless you, man. Thanks, guys.
Taylor, thanks again for joining me. You know, you're welcome back anytime. In fact, guys, Taylor will be on again in the next couple of weeks. We do have another episode in the can where we talk about how to act on a first date, which will be very helpful to some of you guys who haven't been on a lot of first dates, or you've been on some, but they've all been, they haven't gone as you would have hoped, right? There's some finesse to it. There's some tricks, as it were, to the game that'll help you be a little more successful on first dates, right? All right, guys. Anyway, yeah, Taylor, you're welcome back anytime. You know that. I like my 3% brother, Taylor. He's a good kid. And I say kid because I'm just old bastard, right? So all you young bucks are kids to me nowadays. You young whippersnappers. All right, guys. That's all I have for this episode. If you haven't done so already, please like, subscribe, hit those notifications. Thanks for everybody that sounded off in the live. If you guys did, if you guys haven't yet dropped a comment, if you're watching the replay, what are you waiting for? Drop a comment below. And do follow me on social media. The links are in the description. Get on the email list. I'll send you a bunch of free stuff. If you guys haven't read my book yet, what are you waiting for? It will change your life. It's available on Audible and on Amazon. And then guys, do join the beer club. The next beer club hangout is this Thursday on the 25th. So join now, join for the free trial, show up for the call on Thursday. If you like it, stay in the group. If you don't like it, we'll see you later. Maybe it just wasn't for you. All right. No harm, no foul. All right, guys, that's all I have. We will see you on Wednesday for the live stream.
This has been the Come On Man podcast. New full episodes served hot every Monday morning on your favorite podcast platform of choice. So subscribe now. Follow Paul on social media. The links are in the description. Now, go out and get it.